Hello and welcome to another BullardsS.com political podcast. This time, I met up with Matt Aubrey. Matt is mayoral candidate Kevin Faulkner's communications director. He's a San Diego native, and he's a nice guy. Everyone likes Matt. Even his opponents have positive things to say about him. So, you know, it's always a pleasure to chat with him. He's the kind of guy you can just kind of hang out with. And we talked a lot about where he came from. Matt just turned 30, so he's a real young gun here in San Diego's political landscape. He's already running mayoral campaigns. We talked about who this Matt Aubrey guy is anyway and where he's from. You already know where he's from, San Diego native, but who is he? What was his family like? Where did he grow up? Where did he go to school? What did he do before he met Faulkner? And then how he knows Faulkner. How much does he know Faulkner? Just kind of start off with that. Maybe he doesn't know Kevin as much as he thinks he does. You'll see him at the very beginning of the podcast, I tease him a little bit about that. And then San Diego Republicanism and sort of what it means and how he, Matt, fits into that and how Kevin fits into that and how San Diego sees its Republican or San Diego Republicans see their identity. So, you know, as always, if you want to hop on your political soapbox, you can do that by hopping on ours. Just call 619-663-4531. 619-663-4531 and hop on the BullardsDesk.com political podcast soapbox. So here you go. Short intro, I know this time. Don't need much setting up. Mayoral candidate Kevin Faulkner's communications director, Matt Aubrey, on the BullardsDesk political podcast. And remember, post, repost, and share. There you go. Enjoy.
Beautiful oasis. Not a lot of people know about it until yes, they find it. Yeah, I bring my kids down here all the time. Yeah. And the Mika Wara statue, they every year on November, I forget which day, Mexican Independence Day, The whole consulate comes down here and has a party. And they do a little thing and have a party and put a wreath and leave that in front of the Benito Juarez.
But we're going to have to
statue.
Come back,
yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah, going to have to come back, right? I didn't know that. Kevin's going to have to come down here and
I think so.
Turn this into San Diego's Mexican Independence Day fiesta location. Any place I can get free carnitas,
right.
I'm all about.
Right. There's a couple good spots for that in San Diego. So.
Right. Okay. Where is, does Kevin have a favorite? Does he have like a secret Mexican restaurant that everyone has there?
Yeah.
Carne asada place, right?
Right.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
After he's been up all night, presumably working.
Mm-hmm.
Right, hopefully working. Where does he go to get his secret?
Yeah.
Where's his guilty?
One of the places I know he loves is Lucy's here downtown.
Oh, okay.
Sort of right outside City Hall.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Pretty
but
convenient.
That's an easy get.
But
though.
The great where part about where, so Kevin lives in Point Loma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the great part about Point Loma is there are several of the MXN restaurants that used to be Santana's
right there on Rosecrans.
And I think they started right there.
They
so
kind of updated their whole look, and now they're kind of hip.
Exactly,
way, right?
Exactly. They got the nice colors, you know, the
he doesn't
green
have, like,
motif.
A hole in the wall he goes to that he doesn't tell anyone else about, like, his secret hole in the wall. I'm just digging for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really dirt,
right.
But I'm just curious.
Right.
You know?
You know, I haven't been there with him yet. I haven't
really,
been to that
that's
spot.
That's how you know you've made it, right?
Yeah,
you watch,
right.
You watch the paper, the House of Cards, right? He's
yeah.
got that one barbecue joint where he goes to that no one knows about.
Right,
right,
right. His, you know, his
but
place, if
here,
he's if he's having a good day, actually, he wants to get a burger, right? So I know that his burger spots are, he loves Rockies down at Pacific Beach. Big fan of Mickey Rotten's in the Gas Lamp area.
Yeah.
Two great spots.
I go right next door there for the field
for
breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
They do a really good Irish breakfast.
Right,
they
right.
make their own soda bread, which you just don't see.
I haven't had that before.
It's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing. Soda bread can go wrong really easily.
What is soda bread?
It's like it's a poor man's bread.
Uh-huh.
It's not, there's not a lot of flour in there. It's just a different kind of bread.
Hmm.
It's amazing. It's
right.
amazing.
Right.
It's hard to get well done, correctly done in the States. It's like an old Irish.
Yeah.
Every old Irish grandmother has a secret recipe for soda bread. That
and next door they're serving nothing but bacon and Mickey
Rotten's.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about you. I think a lot of people, you know, they know Kevin, but you could be his next, you know, guy in City Hall.
Yeah.
You know, when you think he's going to win, so when he wins in your mind, you could be the next, what would you be? Probably his communications director. That's your title now, right?
Yeah, but currently.
You kind of transition into that in City Hall. You were that for him. As a councilman, but if you become mayor, you could become that for mayor, and that's a whole different deal. So a lot of people don't know you. They know Rachel. Rachel's been around, and I've talked to Rory.
Right.
And now they've got a new guy for Alvarez.
Right.
And a lot of that stuff.
Well, so first of all, I have to make sure I do my job right as his communications director on the campaign. And
where are you from? Where did you grow
up? A little bit about me. I'm a San Diego native, born and raised here. Growing up, I lived in the Normal Heights area, then eventually grew up in Rancho Penasquitos after that. Went to Mount Carmel High School.
Oh, okay.
Go Sun Devils.
Yeah.
And then following that, went up to school in Northern California, UC Davis.
Okay.
Where I studied international relations and communication. Took a little bit of Italian there. Don't use that much these days.
Oh, you don't go to Italy?
You know, I
do
go
you
to
turn the Pope on every now and then just to catch up on it.
I go to Little Italy. That's where I go. Yeah. That's about as close as I get these days. And then after that, went out to Washington D.C. Was involved with the Woodrow Wilson Institute, and was there doing some research on issues I had studied in college: nuclear arms, nuclear non-proliferation, North Korea, Iran, that sort of thing. After a little bit there, I came back here to San Diego.
Did you always want to do like policy work? Did you always want to go into politics? Or
I did. Okay. I did. And one of the things that I learned in D.C., actually learned it when I moved back out here to San Diego and got involved with local politics. I didn't realize it when I was in D.C., but so much of what you do is, you know, you're writing, you're making these white papers, you're pushing the paper around, but you don't really get to see the effects of what you're working on. You write something and be put on a shelf and, you know, maybe no one ever reads it. But here, you know, working for the city of San Diego and working with Kevin for the past 7 years, you get to see the results of your actions pretty immediately. Sometimes not as quickly as you want because there's still the bureaucracy and the red tape, but you get to see it a lot faster than you see if you're working in Washington, D.C. And I think that speaks to the power of local government to create, you know, opportunities for people because if you call your city councilman or your mayor, you need help on a problem that's affecting you right now, right?
Yeah,
you're not talking about some, you know, obscure law in Congress.
Yeah,
you got a hole in your street. You have, a public safety issue. You have a street light that's out. So while these may be considered little things by some, I think they're the most important things. And I've really valued the opportunity to, to help work with Kevin, you know, try to fix some of the challenges our city has faced. And, just also get involved with my hometown. I'm from San Diego. I want it to succeed. I want everyone to think it's the best city in the world. I think it is.
Did you, when you grew up, was your family involved in local politics at all?
Not really.
They had no interest in it?
Not really.
What'd your dad do?
My dad's an architect.
Okay.
Yeah, architect here in town.
Architorture.
Right.
I know two architects.
Yeah, yeah.
Architorture. That's a rough gig.
I remember growing up, when I realized that I couldn't, you know, I was maybe first grade or something. Yeah, I couldn't spell architect. I said, okay, maybe I should get into a different business from my dad.
Did your mom work?
She was a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Doesn't happen anymore. You know, we were, lucky enough to have that in my family. When I moved back to San Diego, it was right around the time that there was a lot of turmoil.
And when was that?
2005.
Okay.
A couple city council people had just resigned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A couple
yeah.
scandals. The mayor had resigned a few
there
months
was the
before.
Strippergate and all exactly. that was
exactly
right around then too. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's a lot of chaos, a lot of movement, and I came in at a time where I was, you know, looking to make my mark here in my hometown. You know, I'd grown up here, but hadn't been here in a professional capacity. So someone said, well, you know, there's some elections that are probably happening soon. Maybe you should get involved with campaigning. And that's something I had never done. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some people in college that get involved in the campaign work and do that sort of thing when they're young. And
you
I was never like that.
Were you always a Republican, though?
You were
kind of like an armchair Republican.
Yeah, you know, I was never involved with, like, the local political stuff. I was always more interested in the policy matters. You know, doing the research, reading The Economist, that sort of thing. That's what got my blood running.
The nerdy stuff.
Exactly, exactly. somebody's got to do it, right?
It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? The Economist is probably one of the best
Best journalism out there.
I think they're doing something all right.
They're doing something right, I think. Yeah.
So, I had no experience in the campaign world, but once I got working on Kevin's campaign, that's actually how I met him. You know, I loved it because you have that immediate impact. You have a time frame. You say, okay, you have 6 months here to convince the people of the city that your guy's the best guy for the job. Mm-hmm. Go.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you do that? So you're talking to voters on the ground. You have, you know, TV ads. There's the media. You have the candidate talking to people. There's debates. Mm-hmm. So many ways on this chessboard to win and so many ways to lose, right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of atmosphere, I just loved it. And also getting to know Kevin, too. He's a real, you know, laid-back guy. He's fun to be around, fun to work with, fun to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, he's over the past couple of years of the city council, you know, I think he's been the right guy at the right time, that calm, you know, demeanor, independent voice. And, you know, now here we are with this mayoral election.
Yeah. So how would you characterize San Diego's Republican Party?
Mm-hmm.
Compare it to more of a national stage.
Yeah.
How do you compare and like contrast those two? San Diego seems to be very... Republican Party seems to be very unique in a lot of ways. It doesn't seem to go in line with the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And it's not like out of line in the sense that like Tea Party, it's just, mm-hmm. it's always been kind of doing its own thing.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think that what they've been talking about is kind of what the local conversation in San Diego has been for the past number of years, which is, you know, how do you manage the finances to improve the community? Fiscal conservatism, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make sure that the tax dollars are being spent on issues that matter to me, on my roads, on my streetlights, on public safety and the fire department, instead of being lost in, you know, the black hole that is City Hall? And, you know, that's always been something people talk about when they talk about government. But here in San Diego, we saw the negative effects of what can happen when, you know, there are city leaders who won't say no, when, you know, people, you know, labor unions or other people are asking for more, right? That's their job to ask for more. It's up to leaders to stand up and say, this is what we can afford. And that didn't happen. So I think in a lot of ways, just that spirit of making sure that we are fiscally mindful of how we're spending our money is kind of been embedded in San Diego politics and in the populace as a whole. And, you know, for as much as we've been talking about it for the past 7 years, it's still the number one issue because you can only make change if you have the money to put behind it. So it's all about decision making.
So how would you compare Kevin to Jerry Brown then, right? Mm-hmm. Jerry Brown, traditional kind of old school Democrat in a lot of ways.
Right.
But he's also the only mayor ever, I think, to balance the budget. Even mm-hmm. Pete Wilson never balanced the budget when he was governor.
Right.
Or even mayor of San Diego.
Right.
But Jerry Brown, that the way that he's approaching, he's pissed off a lot of people too. Mm-hmm. And he's a Democrat,
yeah.
You know, and Kevin's a Republican. But do you think they actually have a little bit in common, except for probably dating movie stars?
Right.
I don't think Kevin's done that. Although, if you want to share, Kevin's dating Jane Fonda or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that
I'm sure he wouldn't.
Well, you know, I think that I think there's a focus. You know, you look at what Kevin's done in the city council. You know, you look at him, you say, he hasn't been a Republican leader. He's been a leader. And I think that that's what makes city politics different than what you see on the state level or the federal level, which is, you know, the more the partisanship you get injected in there, it often doesn't help the conversation move forward. So, you know, when you're talking about balancing the budget, right, and the commonalities there, yeah, I think that Kevin has a, you know, an eye on... independence in the sense that you have to be independent of, you know, what some of your supporters or backers may say, or what other people who want money from City Hall may say. You have to look at the community as a whole and say that, you know, I'm going to represent the 1.3 million people in this city. That's my number one priority, not just the 10,000 people that work at City Hall, it's the whole
like
city.
It doesn't seem like you're pushing ideology. Like, you get some candidates who seem to really want to push an ideology.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like you guys are doing that. Is there kind of you could say fiscal conservative, but
mm-hmm.
the debate then comes to, well, everyone wants to save money, but where are we going to spend our money?
Right. Right.
Everyone's having that argument, right?
Yeah.
And that's essentially what's going on.
Right.
But it does seem like local, maybe I'm getting tongue-tied on this one, but it does seem like local Republicans, and I've said this for a long time, San Diego Republicans haven't been as bogged down in the Tea Party-esque style of Republicanism that seems to go on in a lot of other local politics. Now, there was a huge libertarian push, and I think that DeMaio was part of that as well. How did Kevin avoid getting, or how did you avoid getting kind of wrapped up in that kind of libertarianism, which for public services can be a real nightmare?
Yeah. Well, you know, you look at it on a, quite often City Hall, you, and as a council member, you look at things on a case-by-case basis. So you look at each project, each program.
It's so hard to communicate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get a lot of time to go, okay, well, these roads need to be paved out this way because of these reasons, and these reasons, and we need to do this. Whereas we can't do this one because of this reason, whereas libertarianism is really easy in a lot of ways. They just kind of say, well, we don't have the money, don't pave the roads.
Yeah, I think, in a, like I was saying, you look at a case-by-case basis, and each project you say, you know, what are the needs? So the project of repaving our streets and fixing our infrastructure, what's the need there? Well, we have a infrastructure deficit that some people have measured to be, you know, $1 billion, maybe as high as $2 billion.
Yeah.
That means that almost as a requirement of saying that that's something that you want to achieve, you want to repave our streets, that you have to make sure that your budgets reflect that the money is going to go towards that.
Yeah,
so the ideology is, you know, what makes our neighborhoods better? And I think that the great thing about this runoff election, you know, a lot of terrible things led up to it, but the great thing about it now is that we're able to have two different candidates who are talking about their vision for improving neighborhoods, and voters can decide whether or not they think that the way they want to do that is the right way.
It's almost like your guys' platform, Faulkner's and Alvarez's platforms, are very similar in a lot of ways. It's just kind of the approach to those two different things are seen as dissimilar, I guess.
Sure.
So,
and I would say on that, you can look at, you know, they're talking about the same things, and you can look at their record to decide, you know, how they'll enact them or whether or not you'll enact them. So, you know, Kevin's been talking a lot about homeless issues. You know, he was one of the leaders in helping establish the downtown homeless care facility here. You know, you talk about the environment. He's one of the leaders who work with Democrats on Mission Bay Park.
Yeah, he's an environmentalist and he's a Republican.
Exactly.
But at the same time, he's got to balance that with kind of corporate interests. And this becomes the challenge of any mayor. You want to balance your policy and keep jobs.
Yeah,
in San Diego, and that kind of takes me to the port thing next with Barrio Logan and redistricting there. Critics are saying we talked to the Environmental Health Coalition, and they were telling us about how they'd spent 5 years talking with the Port Business Association and residents of Barrio Logan to help redesign that area and reallocate that space. And then once Faulkner announced he was running, after they had already come to an agreement on this, once Faulkner announced he was running, the Port Business Association pulled out of the agreement and said, and went over to Kevin and said, oh, no, we need this new agreement now. So they're trying to spin it as though Kevin is trying to push out the Barrio Logan, the agreement that was already come to. And you guys are saying that, no, you want to keep jobs there, but you have to find a way to, how do you manage the residents? Because there's not a lot of space in Barrio Logan.
Right. That, you know, I think we can do both. And as you said, Kevin's position on this has been clear, which is we have to do everything we can to support those middle-class jobs on the waterfront, which, by the way, are some of the last, those shipyards are some of the last areas where you can get a great quality job without a college education. Those are the types of jobs we should be doing everything we can do to protect. And those are jobs that, you know, families across the city in Barrio Logan, they need those, you know, for their family, to save for college, that sort of thing. So that's why he's been so outspoken in support of that. And, you know, he said that he agrees with 90% of the plan, right? We're really close to a solution. We just need to keep working towards
what's the 10% then?
The 10% is the uncertainty that the plan creates for these shipyards. And what that means directly is the uncertainty it creates for the thousands of people who are employed at the shipyards.
What does that mean? What do you mean uncertain?
What I mean by uncertainty is that the plan would require the shipyards to, in some cases, when they want to expand, go through a discretionary process. And what that means is that they want to get a permit to, you know, to expand their facility.
Yeah.
They have to, you know, go to City Hall, right? And talk to the leaders there and the city council there. And if you're a business, uncertainty is the last thing that you want. And that's often a reason people, you know, say that they don't want to invest in some cities. And we've seen that as a conversation in San Diego recently, whether we're talking about Barrio Logan or we're talking about, you know, the jobs tax. Things that we're doing to create more uncertainty for businesses are things that directly impact working families here that they need a job.
That's the usage. What are they? What's that?
Linkage fees.
Linkage fee. Yeah. Linkage fee. And it was originally 1.5%, then it got dropped back. And then they want to put it back. They got halved. Now they want to put it back up. Let's talk about putting it back up to 1.5% and then using that money to fund affordable housing downtown.
Right.
What does affordable housing in downtown mean for Kevin? And mean for your campaign?
Yeah.
Is it people who make $24,000 a year or less? Is it people who make $50,000 a year or less? $70,000 a year or less?
They have a formula and they base it off of the area median income. So it really depends on which part of the city that they are building. And, you know, Kevin's been a strong proponent of affordable housing. He's, as you mentioned, a lot of affordable housing has been built in his city council district while he's been on the city council. And he's also, I think, been a leader in returning the focus to, you know, the needs of San Diegans that, you know, need a hand up. And when you're talking about affordable housing, you start at the people that are in need the most, and that's the homeless community. Mm-hmm. And I think what you've seen Kevin do is talk about the need to provide the services and facilities for the most at-risk homeless women, children, veterans. And once we start tackling that problem, you know, improves our neighborhoods and improves people's lives individually because it gets them off the street. And, you know, make sure that the people who are most vulnerable in our city are taken care of. And I think that, you know, when we talk about this issue of housing in San Diego, that's one of the most desperate, you know, challenges we have is how do we fix homelessness? And it's going to be at the center of his administration.
For a family of four making the AMI, I often wonder how they're able to survive. Because look at a family of four in the AMI for San Diego's, I think it was 68, 70, somewhere around there last night. You know, and that's two full-time working adults and two kids. And that's not a lot. You know, when you're talking about average two-bedroom rent alone is $1,500. If you want to live in a nice place, it's more like $2,400 a month rent. And even just getting to a point to where you could buy a house at that. With those kinds of rents, you know, seems to be, you know, it's just out of reach for so many people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's out of reach for most city council people because they only make $70,000 a year.
Right.
It helps to be rich if you're going to go into politics. So how is Kevin going to address those needs of those middle income people, those people that fall right in the middle? Right?
Well, it's something that he talks about in his jobs plan, and he has what he's calling the ideas plan. Invest, develop, educate, attract, and streamline. And those are five different strategies Kevin's going to be using as mayor to not only keep the jobs that we have, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about Barrio Logan, make sure we keep those middle-class jobs, but also create new jobs, the kinds we want in San Diego. So there's you know, San Diego's technology community, biotechnology. Kevin, last Friday, was endorsed by Biocom, which is the organization that has been leading the way for creating more, you know, life sciences, biotech, scientific, you know, renewable energy businesses and jobs here in San Diego. And Kevin understands that it takes a mayor who wants to see our economy grow, a mayor who is focused on leading for all of San Diegans, not just on City Hall, but the entire city, who's going to enact policies that actually benefit our economy. So whether that's expanding the convention center, right? That helps out with tourism, which is our greenest economy. Right. People come in, they spend their money, and they leave, which is great. Right.
That's that supplies a lot of servant class jobs. Tourism doesn't seem to supply a lot of those jobs that pay the kind of money that people need in order to afford to live in San Diego.
There's a ripple effect throughout our entire economy. So there's the construction of the convention center, right? There's the you know, shops and restaurants and other businesses that rely on tourism. That's all a benefit for San Diego, and it creates additional tax revenue that goes to the city that we can use to improve neighborhood services. So it's really a win all around. And if you look at the differences between the two candidates, the convention center expansion is a project that Kevin voted for. The tourism marketing district is a program that Kevin voted for. That marketing district is something that David Alvarez didn't support. And if you look at the stats, you'll see that in 2013, in the months that we weren't advertising for San Diego, we didn't have television commercials in other parts of the country saying, visit here. Our tourism numbers actually fell. They were, the national average was, I think, 6.8%. Mm. San Diego, you know, beautiful sunny San Diego, we were down at 3%. By comparison, San Francisco, they were up at 12. Mm. So it goes to show you the direct impact that leaders at City Hall can have on our economy, can have on tourism, things that lots of San Diegans rely upon. So we need a mayor who actually believes and supports those programs, and that's what Kevin does.
And you don't think that Alvarez is going to do this in the same way? Kevin believes in his neighborhood. You know, he's from the neighborhood that he represents.
Mm-hmm.
David does.
Right.
You know, David's got an interesting past himself. I mean, mm-hmm. they're both interesting people, and it's just it's interesting to me how you could see this. It's a very San Diego campaign. These are not two candidates that would exist in any other city. Right.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't happen, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have this very kind of, you know, beachy, low-key Republican who likes clean water and, you know, but at the same time is pro-business up against a guy who, you know, worked his way up totally from the bottom. You know, his parents were braceros and all that goes with that. And everybody loves a bootstrapper and a success story. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, and they're both very local. They both went to San Diego State, you know. You just wouldn't see this campaign anyplace else. That's what I'm finding really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you look at the primary, when you look at this first election, when they got rid of Fletcher out of the mix there, you saw that line right down the 8. And everybody south of the 8, every district south of the 8 almost consistently went for Alvarez. And every district north of the 8 almost consistently went for Faulkner,
mm-hmm.
except for 2, I think. There was one in each district that went for Fletcher.
Right.
Even though Fletcher was a close victory, a tight victory for Alvarez, he still won each one of those districts.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that all those Democratic voters are then going to just automatically go over to Alvarez. How's Kevin going to reach south of the 8? How do you do that campaign-wise?
It's something that he's been doing and he's going to continue to do. Just this last Saturday, the beginning of the new year, Kevin opened up his new campaign headquarters in Southeast San Diego.
Where is it?
It's on Logan Avenue. And it's part of his, the vision he's talking about for our city, which is creating economic opportunity for everyone and making sure that not only his campaign, but his administration will be inclusive of all San Diego communities. So whether you're Latino or African American or Asian or white, he's going to be talking to you in this campaign, and so that's what we're doing in our with our new headquarters that we just opened. We're going to have we do have staffers and volunteers down there. They're going out every single day knocking on doors south of the 8 and spreading Kevin's message. And you know, there's south of the 8, there's north of the 8. We want to get away from this dividing line of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll hear Kevin talking about is his vision for one San Diego, where we're all lifted up. And that starts with making investments in our most neglected communities first. And what I mean by that is saying that there are parts of the city where there are streets that are in desperate need, where we don't have streetlights. People can't walk at night because it's too dark. And just to throw in a fiscal conservative element
and
here.
Nerd out, man.
Nerd out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was an independent report that showed that if you spend $1 now fixing a road that's in, you know, not great condition, you'll save yourself $6 to $14 down the line by waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a dramatic number to look at, because it just demonstrates that not only do these neighborhoods that have been neglected need help, but also when you start helping these neglected neighborhoods, it helps the whole city, because that means we're not sinking money into a project that has been ignored and now costs more to fix because there hasn't been the leadership to tackle it. That means we have more money for other communities, right? So it just kind of makes common sense. That's when Kevin talks about neighborhood fairness. That's what he's talking about, which is all the neighborhoods need to be moving up at the same level and at the same pace. And that's the type of, you know, inclusive message he's going to be bringing to his administration when he's mayor.
Do you think that this the ship maintenance in Barrio Logan kind of is, it seems to me to be the real kind of the one thing that really seems to illustrate the difference between the two candidates in their different approach to essentially the same problem, right?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think that's one of them, and you can put that together with the jobs tax, and that, you know, Kevin is a clear proponent of doing everything we can as we come out of this economic, you know, this great recession, to protect the jobs we have and make sure that San Diego is still has competitive advantages where we can create the jobs here.
Linkage fee, port,
the ship,
what's the other?
The shipyards, and then if you look at you know, their records and their experience, I think that is. Experience is really what is going to be one of the deciding factors of this campaign.
This is his second term, right?
It's a second term. He's been on the city council for, boy, it's hard to count, but about 8 years now. I think he's going into his ninth year, actually.
Because he just got elected for this last term after the term limits came in. Is that how that worked? And that's how
there's always been term limits at City Hall. Yeah, we've always had those, but he did pick up a little bit of. Mike Zucchet's term after
that's
he resigned.
What it was. Yeah.
He picked
up
a little bit of that.
That's what it was.
And I think that when you look at the two candidates, and especially you look at what happened with the last mayor, right? We had a mayor who didn't really know City Hall that well. And that resulted in a lot of unfortunate things beyond the the sexual harassment terrible things that he was doing. There was also problems with management. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was a micromanager. He didn't quite understand how City Hall worked in a lot of cases. So it really demonstrated that we need a mayor who's ready to hit the ground running in day one. Now more than ever, after this past year we had in 2013, many things we need to address. Who knows where the city has been and how to lead us forward. And what I mean by that is just 7 years ago, we were on the brink of bankruptcy. And Kevin worked with Jerry Sanders to really turn the city around and get us to a point where, you know, we couldn't even pave our roads because we didn't have a credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't even take out the credit card and do some of this work. So Kevin was a leader on those fiscal reforms with Jerry Sanders to turn our city around. And he knows that leadership that doesn't have the experience to stand up to special interests who are going to be asking for money, that's going to result in a really bad situation for San Diego, because that means that more of our dollars are going to be locked up in the City Hall bureaucracy instead of working to improve our communities. And I think we could all agree that we've done so much work the past 7 years, you know, Kevin, Jerry Sanders, Todd Gloria, to turn our city's finances around so we can improve our neighborhoods, to go back to those same special interests, putting them back in charge of City Hall again. It just wasn't working then, and it's not going to work in the future.
So you got, who was it? It was Jerry Sanders. Before Sanders, it was
Dick Murphy.
Mm-hmm. And so he was a Republican. He was in there for 2 years. So Sanders two terms, Dick Murphy two terms, right? So that's almost 16 years, right? And then before that, Maureen O'Connor, I want to say. Was it Maureen O'Connor before that?
Susan Golding.
And yes. was Golding a Democrat or Republican?
Republican. Yeah.
So it's been a long line of people who you could put in that kind of fiscal conservative arena have been mm-hmm. at the helm of City Hall. Now, this was all before Strong Mayor.
Yeah.
But there's still debate on how much Strong Mayor can have that mm-hmm. style, can have an influence on. But so there's been a long line. So who are the people that were in charge at City Hall?
Right.
If we've had these Republicans at the helm, these fiscally conservative Republicans at the helm for such a long time.
It doesn't really matter if you're a Republican or Democrat if you don't have the independence to stand up and say, no, we can't afford that because our neighborhoods come first.
How would you compare Kevin to Dick Murphy?
Well, Kevin has a proven track record of being in the trenches and coming in at a time when our city was in complete chaos, where we didn't have leadership, where we didn't have our finances in order, where that resulted in our streets and other infrastructure not being getting the attention that they needed. So, you know, he's proven, just look at his record in the city council, mm-hmm. that he understands how bad of a problem that was and understands how to fix it. And his entire career has been based on getting us to a point where we are mindful of our budget. We are putting our dollars back into neighborhoods. And that's not going to change when he's mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's mayor doesn't mean he's going to be doing anything different. Look what he's done before. And if you look at Kevin and then you look at David, I think you'll see a vast difference in just their record and their levels of experience. Kevin knows had a lead. He's been doing it with Jerry Sanders, with Todd Gloria, with Council President Tony Young, you know, taking a leadership role and negotiating Bob Filner's resignation, all these things. And he's ready to bring that to the mayor's office.
So I heard something that said, super my last, one, kind of, you got to go. But there's something interesting this morning in Burma, right? This relates.
Where are you going
to
with
San
this,
Diego.
Matt?
You're gonna love this. In Burma, they just had an election, right? And they only had 40% turnout. So now the opposition is rioting. They're calling for completely throwing out the election and calling for a new election because only 40% of the people voted. In the last primary here, we had about a 32% turnout, and then a lot of people now don't even understand what's coming up in February.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we try and drill it into their heads on the news, they're still not getting what's going on. The process is still mystical and mysterious to a lot of people. How much do you think voter turnout, not just your voters, but just voter turnout in general, is going to impact who gets elected? So if, you know, the average person doesn't know, but let's say Alvarez is really able to ignite his community, his constituents to vote for him, he could win just by that.
Yeah.
Do you think Democrats are more enthusiastic to vote for him because he's a Democrat? Do you think Republicans are more enthusiastic to vote for Kevin? Do you think San Diegans are going to be enthusiastic voters this time around? Or is it going to be another low voter turnout?
Well, like you said, it's all about turnout, and whoever has the most people show up to the polls and press that button for him is the person that wins. So, of course. And and Kevin, you know, what he's going to be doing is
if he gets elected and there's 30% turnout, he doesn't have a mandate, really. You know what I mean? And then so that changes his mayorship in a lot of ways.
And what he wants is as many San Diegans to vote as possible. And that's why you see Kevin's campaign focusing on different communities, opening up this new headquarters on Logan Avenue in southeastern San Diego, and making sure that every San Diegan knows that there's election. And we are completely 100% confident that when we do that, when we tell everyone about this election and tell them about Kevin's story, that they're going to support him because they look at his record, they look at his experience, look at what he's done to help turn our city around, and we're confident that once people hear that, they're going to be voting for Kevin Faulkner. All right. Thank you, Matt.